KSCU Santa Clara presents Robots Attack. Movies, TV, video games, comic books, tech stuff, news, music. If it is geek, it's on Robots Attack. Participate in the show by commenting on Facebook, tweeting them at RobotsAttackMe, emailing the show robotsattackshow@gmail.com. Now, Robots Attack.
That's right. Welcome to Robots Attack here on KSCU Santa Clara 103.3 FM, the underground sound. I am Joe, and with me is...
Jason.
That's right. We are a man short, but it is all right. We have this locked down and
right.
Ready to roll.
Everything is under control.
Yes. But if it does explode...
Then everything will not have been under control.
Correct.
But we're going to keep it close, at least.
We're going to do our best to contain the excitement and the explosions.
If we lose control, it's just going to be by a thread.
Just a thread.
Yeah.
Just a razor thin.
Tiny amount.
Oh, tiny amount. But
right.
We got this.
Yeah.
We're going to do it. If you're unfamiliar with the show, we are a geek-centric talk show here on KSCU Santa Clara. We talk about tech, comic books, video games, movies... All that sort of stuff.
More comic books.
Yeah.
Comic book movies.
Comic book movies. Yeah, we did talk about those last week, right?
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, we probably could have spent even more time, but we ran out. There was just...
Yeah, we probably could have spent hours on that, most likely.
But we contained it like we're going to contain...
Right. We contained it by a thread.
By a thread. All right. So if you aren't familiar with our show, well... Just stick around for 2 hours and you will be entertained beyond your wildest dreams.
Right.
Subject, participation, whatever.
Well, yeah, you have to participate, number one. Yeah, otherwise.
That's true. And, you know, speaking of that, we do like it when the audience does participate. Now you're thinking, oh, let me grab my phone. No, don't call. Because we don't really have that set up yet,
right.
Our show per se. Not that the radio station doesn't have that set up, but we don't have that set up yet to take audience participation that way. But we do like to take it from Facebook. If you search for Robots Attack Show, you'll find our show on there. You can like us, you can leave a comment, because we post our stories, which generally have videos or pictures on there. So, you know, say you're driving right now and you're like, well, I would really like to check out said thing that Jason just said, but I'm driving and it
right.
would be irresponsible and illegal for me to pull out my phone or computer and look at it while I'm driving.
Mostly.
Yes. But you can go back later on, check it out, and leave a comment even after the show is long over. It doesn't matter because it's the internet and that's open 24/7.
Yeah.
So, and if you're like, well, I don't really like Facebook and it's not really cool anymore, apparently. We are also...
Was it ever really?
I don't know. I mean...
I think people just suffer through it.
Maybe. But we are also on Twitter. It's Robots Attack Me. Search on there. You can tweet us. Do basically the same thing.
Right.
Now, normally Caleb, the
if
other...
If you're into Tumblr, we don't have that.
We don't have that. But
yeah.
Normally Caleb handles a lot of that stuff during the show. I will have those things open, but he normally, like... gets the posts up real quick and everything like that.
Yeah.
So I'm going to do my best to get some stuff up, but it's kind of difficult trying to do that and talk and handle the board and play the music. And so it'll be a little slower than normal, but that's okay because it's still going to be a lot of fun. And of course, I cannot forget the classic email. Always an oldie, but a goodie. You can email us robotsattackshow@gmail.com. Whatever you want, show topics, comments, whatever. If you're like, I don't want to do Twitter, I don't want to do Facebook, but I love email, you can do that too. So
try it out. If you haven't tried email,
it's a lot of fun.
You might like it.
You might like baby step into the internet.
Right.
Baby step.
Yeah. Classic internet.
Classic, yes.
Yeah.
Nothing's going to talk back to you.
No.
There isn't anybody going to, you know, click on it like, I don't like this, or you shouldn't have done this. It's just you and your computer.
Right.
And sending off electronic things through tubes.
And whatever commercials are probably attached to your email.
Yeah, yeah.
But still, I mean...
Mm-hmm. And the only negative...
People like commercials, right? I mean, yeah. They're entertaining.
And the only negative response is maybe if, like, you've sent it to the incorrect email, and then you get one of those mailer demons that comes back, and it's like, this is an invalid email. But robots attack...
I like just sending those back to people just to mess with them and have the little line at the end saying, like, just kidding, yeah. Ha-ha. Nobody seems to get the joke. They don't read all the way to the end.
Yeah, it's pretty evil. But it's robotsattackshow@gmail.com. Simple, easy. That'll work.
Right.
All right.
I promise I won't do that to you.
No, he will not. All right. But speaking of promises that are coming out this week.
Right.
I don't know.
To you.
Yes. We generally start off the show with some new releases. We kind of take a little handful of things coming out. It's not every single thing. We can't do that. Otherwise, it would take the entire show. And
right.
That isn't the point of our show. We're just kind of doing this for fun. All right. I like to start off with some movies coming out in the theater, so you can kind of plan ahead. I know it's Monday, and you're like, whoa, a lot of these don't come out until Friday, but hey, plan ahead.
Right.
You know, you got your schedules.
Mark your calendars.
Exactly. Or don't.
Or
whatever. It's entirely up to you.
Send yourself an email.
Exactly. We just talked about that earlier. Okay, so first off, we've got Dumb and Dumber 2. That's T-O, not 2, as in T-W-O.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, as sort of like a letter, like 2...
Okay.
Dumb and Dumber.
Okay.
Because it's...
I think I'm with you.
Yeah, because it's 20 years after Lloyd and Harry set out on their first adventure, they hit the road in search of Harry's long-lost daughter. All right, if that doesn't interest you, maybe Beyond the Lights. The pressures of fame have music superstar Noni, that's probably incorrect, but I apologize, on the edge until she meets Kaz Nicole. That might be wrong as well, but I apologize again.
That sounds pretty good.
A young cop, an aspiring politician who has been assigned to her detail. Drawn to each other, Noni and Kaz fall fast and hard, despite the protests of those around them who urge them to put their career ambitions ahead of their romance. But it is ultimately Kaz's love that gives Noni the courage to find her own voice and break free to become the artist she was meant to be. Blah.
Yeah.
Sounds like a lot of blah to me.
What are you talking about? That's gold.
Yes.
Right there.
Classic gold of a woman needing a man to make her dreams come true.
Okay, maybe it's not so golden, but...
Anywho, I'll move on next.
Maybe there's a twist
maybe.
At the end.
You know what? Maybe you're right.
Yeah.
I should not judge
movies
a movie
love twists.
By its synopsis.
So watch the entire movie
if you want to.
Really sappy and horrible. Just to see if the ending
has a twist. Yes, because like I said, I shouldn't judge a movie by its synopsis.
Right.
All right, and last, but certainly not least, Foxcatcher. Foxcatcher tells the true story of Olympic wrestling champion brothers Mark Schultz and Dave Schultz and their relationship with the eccentric John Dupont that led to murder.
Okay. Okay, coming out on DVD /Blu-ray. This week,
I think that's a completely different movie.
Right. How to Train Your Dragon 2. And that's the actual number 2 this time.
Okay, not
right.
Not like a letter.
Yeah.
T-O.
I think it features more dragons and more people. I think that's how that one works.
Probably.
Okay.
Did you see it?
I have not seen it yet.
Oh, okay.
I shouldn't
I
be talking
it
about
either.
It at all.
Huh. I thought you and Caleb and Elaine went and saw it. Maybe it was just
just
the two of them saw it. I think
I think
know
it was
someone
like a
out
family
of our group
outing
saw
or
it.
Something like that.
Because I swear we talked about that in one of the Geek Talks on the show
yeah.
at some point. So
yeah.
Anyway.
And Caleb is on board with the dragons. The draining dragons. Other than that, we also have Jersey Boys and Let's Be Cops and a movie called Iceman. A Ming Dynasty palace guard wrongly accused of murder is being hunted by his three sworn brothers, and all four get accidentally buried and kept frozen in time during the battle. 400 years later,
what?
They are defrosted. Like so many.
Well, it's like Encino Man.
Right. Encino Samurai Warrior. And they continue the battle because that's what you do when you've been defrosted after 400 years.
It's true.
So it's all you know.
That grudge.
It's all you can remember.
It is.
Most people don't know. You lose all of your long-term memory. All you have is short-term memory. So they were like, ah, must fight, because that's all we know.
That's all we remember.
Literally all we know. It's a sad story.
Maybe that's why I think it has a 30 on Metacritic right now.
I do not have access to the Metacritic data at this moment, but I can believe you about that for some reason. let's see. As far as video games out this week, we have a little continuation of a certain series called Assassin's Creed. The Unity version comes out on the current gen systems as well as PC on tomorrow.
Unity!
Unity!
I kept doing that all, like, over the weekend in the mirror.
Yeah, a cousin of mine tweeted something about the entire Ebola thing, and this is probably, like, horrible to say on radio in front of everybody. But for some reason, every time somebody mentions Ebola, it registers in her head as the Ricola commercial.
Okay.
So yeah, ever since I read that, every time it's been happening to me too. So Ebola. Anyway, Ebola is serious. It's not meant to be a chant in mountaintops.
It's true. It's true.
Anyway, there is yet more Assassin's Creed, if you did not realize. There's also Assassin's Creed Rogue. Coming to the last gen systems, Xbox 360 and PS3. I'm surprised that one's not coming out for PC also, but
yeah,
maybe eventually.
Maybe later. Maybe. Actually, I think I did see something that said January, I think.
Okay.
That it was coming out, but.
Okay. Another collection is coming out, and it's no surprise it's coming out just for the Xbox One because it's Halo, the Master Chief Collection. It is basically a rehash of the entire series thus far, but the graphics look staggering. So I had no interest in the series whatsoever until now, other than like playing with friends. But I kind of want to play it now.
Yeah.
I hate to admit it.
Yeah, all of them are 1080p and 60 frames per second now.
Yeah, it looks like movie stuff. Anyway, more stuff along the vein of Assassin's Creed. You have a dual release of the Sonic Boom series.
Ooh, Sonic Boom!
Right, which is Sonic the Hedgehog's new series. The first one is Rise of Lyric, coming to the Wii U at a bargain price. I'm not going to say how much.
Just a bargain.
At a bargain price, which may have something to do with it being a Wii U title. I don't know. Or a Sonic title. I don't know either. But if you want more Sonic, they're doing the same thing kind of that Assassin's Creed is doing, staggering it between systems. Their last-gen system, not so much, but the 3DS is getting a Sonic Boom called Shattered Crystal. Both of which release tomorrow. Other than that, we have the next in the line of the Lego Batman series, Beyond Gotham.
Yes.
That's coming to, like, everything.
Yeah.
yeah, like, almost literally everything. I'll run it down. Xbox One, PS4, Wii U, Xbox 360, PS3, 3DS, Vita, and PC. And that's all for video games this week.
Alrighty. I will try my best to fill in for Caleb with the comics. I grabbed a list from IGN that they recommended.
You can do it.
So hopefully. But before that, I'll do our PSA, because if you've ever wanted to listen to KSU but you weren't near a radio, well, you can stream us whenever you want at KSU.org or on the TuneIn Radio app or website and never be without the underground sound. Just remember to search for the call letters KSCU, because a lot of stations have 103.3. but not every station is KSU.
Right. I think literally none of them.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
Oh, mostly. Right. Okay, so we've got in D.C., they listed one called The Kitchen, number one. The Kitchen takes place in 1970s New York City in Hell's Kitchen. After a big mob boss and his men are put in prison, their wives, Kath, Raven, and Angie, decide to keep the family business running, which leads to all sorts of Soprano-esque stories, only with a trio of women in charge. There's also Batman number 36. The Joker's back. He's mind-controlling Superman, and Batman has to stop him. Moving over to Marvel, there's Thor number 2. This is like the new Thor.
Right, yeah.
Supposedly, I guess in the first issue, there wasn't that much of her in it.
Uh-huh.
But this one's supposed to have more.
Okay.
I don't know. Sort
yeah, I couldn't tell. The cover had, I assume, a frost giant, but I don't know for sure.
Yeah, not really sure. There's also the all-new Captain America number 1. Rick Remender's Captain America story continues with a new number one that features Sam Wilson, a.k.a. the Falcon, as the new Captain America, with Stuart Immonen on art duties.
Art looks pretty clean.
Mm-hmm. Moving over to Dark Horse, it's Itty Bitty Comics, The Mask, number one.
Awesome.
Comic book adaptation done by Art Baltazar and Franco. The duo are known for their charming Itty Bitty take on Hellboy, and now they're using that formula on The Mask. And then an image, there's Witches number 2. All right. Now I will wrap us up with some Muzak. We've got, hold on to your butts for this, Man Against Machine, the brand new album from Garth Brooks. It's the first release of original songs from the country singer since 2001's Scarecrow, was produced by Mark Miller.
Okay.
There's also a new album from Foo Fighters called Sonic Highways. Each song on the 8th full-length release for the rock band led by Dave Grohl was recorded in a different city: Chicago, Austin, Nashville, Los Angeles, Seattle, New Orleans, Washington, D.C., and New York, which is documented in the HBO TV series of the same name. Caught little snippets of it. It's a pretty solid series.
Okay.
There's also a new album. Well, I suppose it's new, but anyway, Pink Floyd, The Endless River. It's the 15th and final full-length studio release from the British rock band. Features unreleased music from its 1993 Division Bell sessions.
Okay.
So, yes, it is new music, but it's
newly released old music.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's never been released before.
It's retro.
There you go.
It's new retro.
And who else will bring you that but Pink Floyd? There's also a new album from Damien Rice, my favorite Faded Fantasy. It's the third full-length studio release for the Irish singer-songwriter, was produced by Rick Rubin. Then we have Marianne Faithfull, new album, Give My Love to London, the 20th studio release for the British singer-songwriter. It features collaborations from such artists as Anna Calvi, Nick Cave, Steve Earle, Ed Harcourt, Tom McRae, Portishead's Adrian Utley, and Pink Floyd's Roger Waters.
Okay. Okay.
So there you go. This is a sampling of some new releases coming out this week. Hopefully something on there sparked your interest. You can start planning ahead for that stuff.
I totally am.
Yes. I know I am as well. All right. We're going to take a music break and then come back with some news. Do you happen to have a news title to sort of tease the folks?
Yeah. Believe it or not, there's
I'm walking on air.
maybe in a moment
so
here.
Free.
But there is a new line of Pepsi sodas coming out.
What?
And believe it or not, out of them, Mango Habanero is not the strangest one.
Huh.
Yeah.
You remember it. This is Pepsi, not like new Lay's potato chip flavors that you pick?
Pepsi.
All right.
Yeah. Drinkable.
Mm.
Yeah.
Well, I'm intrigued. I'm sure you're intrigued out there, so you'll definitely want to stick around for that story and many more. After this music break, I'm going to play the band The Generationals, the track Gold, Silver, Diamond from the album Alex. But that's with an I, not an E, and an X, not a C or a K.
Yeah.
So okay. It's A-L-I-X. Just right. So you're okay. Like, I'm totally confused. Like, what were you replacing the I and the X? Was the A being replaced? Was the L? Because it's crazy out there in rock and roll land.
Right.
All right. We'll be back with more Robots Attack right after these musics.
News.
All right, welcome back to Robots Attack here on KCU Santa Clara 103.3 FM, the underground sound. As the bumper indicated, we are in the news. But before we get into that, I will read our next PSA. San Jose Animal Advocates. Are you an animal lover who wants to help homeless animals find their forever homes but have limited time to volunteer? Join San Jose Animal Advocates, a local nonprofit that is building a community network to help find loving, foster, and forever homes for pets in our local shelters. With your help, we can save countless animals. All it takes is a few clicks. You can share their stories with your network of friends. It's easy. Join them at sjanimaladvocates.org or look for them on Facebook. All right.
Okay. This was originally scooped by a Kent State freshman named Steve Burns. He basically found out that Pepsi was offering taste tests of new flavors. The one that piqued his interest the most was a nacho flavor called Doritos, as in Mountain Dew and Doritos combined.
Taste of the battlefield.
Yeah, I can't figure out how that would be genius, but maybe it is. By themselves, sort of together, they work. Anyway, I'm more interested in the other flavors that they were taste testing. One of them is the aforementioned mango habanero, which is kind of an interesting idea, having a spicy style drink. No. There's another one called rainbow sherbet. And the one that I'm most interested in personally in is a lemon ginger flavor. So I don't know if these are all going to be under the actual Mountain Dew, like, moniker or not.
Oh, okay.
But to me, that fits kind of the best, because if they just had, like, Pepsi, mango, habanero, I'm not sure how that would work. But yeah, lemon ginger sounds actually refreshing and good to me. Apparently, at first, they had no idea if it was just taste tests or somebody just fooling around with them, but it has been actually confirmed that they are going to be released, and I should have read farther into this article, because they are being released as Mountain Dew flavors.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because I was going to say, like, oh, I wonder if it's, like, Mountain Dew or is Squirt Pepsi also?
I have no clue, to be honest. I don't think so. I want to say it's related to Dr. Pepper or something like that.
Yeah, because don't they have another Mountain Dew-ish one also?
There's a bunch of them. Mellow Yellow just got re-released. And
that one's under Pepsi? I'm just trying to think of the ones that are under Pepsi that, like...
I don't know if they have a whole bunch of the citrusy Sierra things Mist? With them.
Is that Coke?
Anyway,
we know it's Mountain Dew, but I was thinking, I wonder if it's like other flavors of their other non-Pepsi ones.
It's funny. Back in high school, I could crack out the knowledge on every single soda product there was, but not anymore.
Not so much now?
No. My brain has been crowded too much with other things that are not soda related, I suppose.
Okay, well... apparently, if you are a fan of Battletoads,
I'm not really.
Okay, well, if you are,
but I'm excited because there are fans of Battletoads, and I want to be excited for them.
Well, it looks like Microsoft has trademarked Battletoads.
Okay.
How
does that work?
It looks like possibly there has been an update to the story, but I'll read the sort of original thing. But Microsoft has filed a trademark for Battletoads with the United States Patent and Trademark Office. The document discovered by NeoGAF identifies the patent as game software and is dated on November 5th of 2014. No extra information is given. The story kind of or goes on to mention, I should say the article, that, you know, at the launch of the Xbox One last year, Microsoft revived another old Rare franchise, Killer Instinct.
Right.
So, you know, there's possible speculation that maybe they're going to do something similar with another Rare property or something like that. But
makes some sense.
There was an update to the story, and it says a Microsoft spokesperson responded and said, Microsoft often acquires various trademarks as part of its ongoing business strategy, but beyond that, we have no comment. So
they wanted to beat Sony to Battletoads is what it might be.
It's possible.
Either that or Atari.
Yeah.
Because
you
never know when they're going to pop up with a new console.
Uh-huh. And while it's true, there are lots of things that get like trademarked or, you know, put out this and that that never end up really seeing the light of day.
Yeah.
It does mean it's neither really a yes or a no. So
I think they need to have a massive like fighting game crossover that has like Battletoads and Street Sharks and Samurai Pizza Cats.
Okay.
Basically every single weird anthropomorphic type of thing that they've ever done.
Okay.
The flagship characters could be Ninja Turtles, I think.
Oh,
that would probably work.
Okay.
To bring in the peoples. But other than that.
Okay. I mean, let's see where we're going here.
Yeah. I don't know if you'd want like every single one of the Battletoads. I don't know if everybody out there was particularly attached to their own
certain
of
battle
the three, what it was three, right? Of the three,
yes, they
named
because I had forgotten their names: Rash, Zitz, and Pimple.
Okay, yeah, so that might be shelved a while longer.
You never know.
Well, it's funny. I don't actually have the story handy, but I read something earlier today that it sort of in the same vein. That the creator of the Earthworm Jim series actually is starting up a new video game, and I guess he scooped up the star of Napoleon Dynamite to do voice work in his new video game.
Oh, okay.
So it'll be interesting to see what that ends up being.
Hmm.
But yeah, to me, Earthworm Jim and.
Would you want Earthworm Jim in that fighting game you mentioned earlier?
I think that would work pretty well.
Okay.
I don't know. What were the other alien guys that came out like a little bit? I want to say like And Earl or something like that.
Sure.
Anyway.
Wait, related to Earthworm Jim or no?
I don't know. Well, it was just, there was a time frame where they were releasing a bunch of games that were kind of like that, just sort of weird cartoon characters, kind of to be the Sony alternative to, to like Mario Brothers or whatnot.
Well, I know there's like Toe Jam and
Earl. Yes, yes.
They're aliens. They were like animals, but okay.
Oh, okay. I thought. Well, anyway, enough of that.
Yeah.
Back to the important things. Cigarette ads. Cigarette ads, of course, have been outlawed in practically every reasonable country in the world for a long time, but the first one in nearly 50 years is showing its face on British TV. And the way that they're managing to do it is because of the new e-cigarettes, because laws haven't quite caught up with that stuff yet. But it is just kind of interesting that cigarettes are kind of, they sort of found a backdoor into the commercial area again. I know, exciting,
are you excited,
right?
About that? Or
no, it was just a short, interesting story in my view. It's no Battletoads.
It's true. It is no Battletoads. Okay, well, I mentioned Thor earlier in the new releases in the comics.
You did?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Well, apparently,
I think I commented on that too.
Yes. WWE star CM Punk is tapped to write Thor comic.
Huh.
There's been a lot of focus on Thor at Marvel lately, with Jason Aaron's ongoing Thor comic being relaunched and a new heroine taking up his mighty hammer. Now there's another interesting development in Thor's world. Marvel announced today that Phil Brooks, better known as CM Punk, will be writing a story in next February's Thor Annual Number 1. Thor Annual Number 1 will feature several short stories from creators new to Marvel. Rob Gilroy will also be making his Marvel debut as he teams with Punk. Looks like for art, for the art.
Okay.
No other creative teams have been revealed yet, but Marvel hinted that more announcements will be coming this week. Yeah, there's no real mentions about like the story or anything like that. But the cover sort of suggests that the issue might focus on both the Odinson and the new Thor, as well as the older future version of Thor that has been a mainstay of Aaron's work. I'm not really familiar with the Thor comic right now, so I don't really know what a lot of that stuff is. But if you are, I guess. Plus, with the annuals, it kind of gives a chance to, you know, just kind of write self-contained stories. And so it's kind of cool, like, hey, let's reach out and give fans or other, you know, people that aren't like, or, you know, attached to it or whatnot, like a chance to, hey, write a story. And who knows if it bombs, well, it's just the annual.
Right.
But if it's successful, it's like, hey, maybe we can get you back for other stuff. Like,
yeah.
CM Punk told Marvel.com that he wrote his script in the traditional Marvel method format, which involves plotting the story and then writing dialogue after the artist has illustrated the pages. He also said that his experience in the world of WWE translates to writing superheroes, which if you think, like, at first you're kind of like, wait, what? But then it does really make a lot of sense because that whole, I mean...
Yeah, I think I was... I hate to say this because it's probably going to sound horrible to all of the, like, WWE fans out there, but I think I was really bored one night and I ended up having, like, leaving on one of those shows that was, like... behind the scenes and whatnot. But it was really interesting watching these guys who are really enthusiastic about trying to get into it, like trying to dream up these characters, what makes them tick and all of that stuff. They put a lot of thought into it and it really kind of blew me away.
Yeah. It's cool. You know, I think I'm more suited for it just because I've been reading comic books my entire life, wearing tights in front of thousands of people and kind of almost play acting. I think down the road it might give me some sort of insight depending on what kind of characters I'm writing and what the story is, but I'm not really sure it prepared me so much for being able to script a comic book. Punk also revealed another iconic Marvel character he'd love to write in the future. Quote, oh, I think my original pitch to Axel Alonso in 2011 was, let me write Punisher. In my mind, for some odd reason, I've just got this Punisher story in my head and I think it's super, super awesome. I can read Jason Aaron's Punisher and everybody else's take on the character and it's good, but I think that my Punisher story is pretty badass. So everything I do for Marvel is going to be leading up to it. Please just let me write my Punisher story. So until they let me do that, you're going to get all kinds of other stories about all kinds of other characters until they satisfy this need I have to write Frank Castle.
There
so
you
apparently
go.
He really wants to write the Punisher. And interestingly enough, I'm wearing a Punisher shirt. So
yeah, I was just looking at that.
Yeah.
Okay. Sort of in the vein of in action, death, and destruction, there's new news on Skynet, sort of. Previously, or in a previous episode, I had done a news story about Elon Musk and about how he was actually fairly afraid of AI becoming, like, a big thing that could ruin the world.
Yeah, I remember us talking about that.
Right. And I pontificated about how I thought that was lame and whatnot. But here's the thing. It sounds like he's almost trying to make it happen because he's building Skynet. Now he doesn't have the AI side of things, but he's literally building a giant network of satellites in space that's going to be the largest network of satellites in existence. It's going to be over 700 satellites in size, of like full-size satellites, not like little miniature ones or anything like that. And his idea is that he's going to use SpaceX in order to create a new version of internet access that is actually like satellite driven. Okay. So it's a cool idea, but it is Skynet. Literally. So, afraid of AI, yet building Skynet. I think you have, you're at cross purposes there, Mr. Musk.
He doesn't realize he's building his own
destruction
or fear.
Something like that. They were probably thinking about making AI-driven cars, and he's like, no. Because when I hook them up to my network...
Or maybe he thinks if he starts it, he can prevent it from becoming the thing that he fears.
Okay.
So if I do it, I can, you know, handle it and make sure that it doesn't fall into the wrong hands and turn into Skynet or something.
Okay.
I'm not sure.
Yeah.
I cannot claim to know what is inside Mr. Musk's
Nobody
head.
Can. Other than the things that he actively tweets, which includes this right here. Apparently it's been a plan that's been around for a little while, but he actually tweeted specifically about it today, saying specifically that he's going to have a full announcement about the what he's trying to do in 2 to 3 months. So, don't hold your breath. It's going to be a little while before we find out exactly what he has in mind. But the speculation is, and because he's actually mentioned things like this before, is that he wants to be in more direct competition with Google and Facebook. So,
maybe he's afraid they'll start Skynet. So, if he can prevent them from starting Skynet by starting Skynet.
It's weird for me to think of Google starting Skynet just because they're such, like, I don't know. They're like the flower children of the internet, kind of. They're literally trying to make the best internet that they possibly can. Mm-hmm. But maybe that's the entire point, is that if they had Skynet at their disposal, man, they'd have like some Google AI named Oogle or something like that. I don't know. I was trying to figure out some AI.
No.
AI Oogle. I don't know.
I'll
figure out a really good menacing Google AI name for next time.
Sounds good. And you out there listening, if you can think of one,
right,
let us know.
Throw them at us
on the Facebook. Mention
right.
Robot Attack Show.
Really sock it to Mr. Musk by using Facebook and or Google.
Yeah. By emailing us, robotsattackshow@gmail.com.
Right.
Or you can tweet us, robotsattackme, here on Robots Attack on KSCU Santa Clara 103.3 FM, the underground sound. And on that note, since we can give the audience a chance to think about one, and yourself.
Right.
We'll take another music break, and then we'll come back with some more news.
Okay.
All right. We'll be back with more Robots Attack here on KSCU Santa Clara 103.3 FM, the underground sound.
News.
Alrighty, welcome back to Robots Attack here on KSCU Santa Clara 103.3 FM, the underground sound. We're in the second part of the news, and I've got our next story. If you're a fan of Evil Dead.
Yes.
Yeah. Solid group, I think, out there, fans.
Yes.
for the cult classic series of movies.
Yeah, I don't think they'd call it a cult classic otherwise.
True.
Yeah.
True. Well, apparently it looks like there's going to be an Evil Dead TV series starring Bruce Campbell.
Sweet.
Coming to Stars. Campbell to return as Ash for Evil Dead series. Sam Raimi to direct the first episode. Stars announced today the green light of the network's next original series, the long-awaited follow-up to the classic horror film franchise, The Evil Dead. The project reteams the original filmmakers, director Sam Raimi, with longtime producer partner Rob Tappert and star Bruce Campbell. Titled Ash vs. Evil Dead, the 10-episode series will see Campbell reprise his role as Ash, the stock boy, aging Lothario, and chainsaw-handed monster hunter who has spent the last 30 years avoiding responsibility, maturity, and the terrors of the Evil Dead. When a deadite plague threatens to destroy all of mankind, Ash is finally forced to face his demons, personal and literal. Destiny, it turns out, has no plans to release the unlikely hero from its, quote, evil grip. Stars.
Yeah, first when I read that article, I was like, what does this have to do with the video game?
Yeah. Quote, Stars first worked with Sam and Rob on Spartacus, and we are thrilled to be back in business with them, said Carmi Zlotnick, managing director of Stars. With Sam writing and directing and Bruce Campbell returning to the screen, we are certain the show will give Evil Dead fans around the world the fix they've been craving. Evil Dead has always been a blast. Bruce, Rob, and I are thrilled to have the opportunity to tell the next chapter in Ash's lame but heroic saga. With his chainsaw arm and his boomstick, Ash is back to kick some monster butt. And a brother this time, there's a truckload of it, said Sam Raimi. As a quote from Bruce Campbell, I'm real excited to bring this series to the Evil Dead fans worldwide. It's going to be everything they have been clamoring for. Serious Deadite ass-kicking and plenty of outrageous humor. And from Robert Tappert, Stars has always been a great creative partner, and we are excited to be working with them on this project. As I mentioned, Raimi himself is set to direct the first episode.
Yeah.
Ash vs. Evil Dead was written by Sam Raimi, Ivan Raimi, and Tom Spezzoli. Sam Raimi will also serve as executive producer along with Rob Tappert and Bruce Campbell. Ivan Raimi will co-executive produce, and Aaron Lamb will serve as producer. The series will air on Stars in 2015. So I'm sort of curious. I guess I suppose it could still follow the, because they did that like Evil Dead movie.
Right,
like,
yeah.
Like the new one, sort yeah. of. So I suppose both could live.
I haven't heard. Are they planning on making more of those, or?
I'm not sure.
Haven't heard anything.
But yeah. I mean, I guess like, you know, superhero TV shows and movies, they're not set in the same yeah, world, so
that is true.
You can always have different stuff, but there you go. If you've been clamoring for some more Ash and Evil Dead, you're gonna get it next year.
Yeah, I didn't know that I could clamor and possibly get anything, but I'll clamor for more stuff in the future.
Yeah.
Okay, it's sort of going back to my Elon Musk story.
Skynet.
Google has a secret plan.
What?
To dethrone Musk from his Skynet empire. I don't really know if any of that is true. But they did do something really big to do with aerospace, and it's kind of interesting. They used their company, Planetary Ventures. Planetary, space, right? Yeah. 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 Anyway, the company is leasing, everybody actually in the area will know this in just a moment, but it's kind of hard to explain for all of our worldwide listeners.
Okay.
There's a giant hangar in our area at a well-known military base called Moffett Field, or what used to be a military base.
Mm.
For now, mostly it just runs Google's fleet of aircraft, and it does stuff for NASA. So NASA actually owns this gigantic hangar from back in ye old days where we were flying airships around. It's like one of the last hangars for those airships.
Okay.
And it was particularly big because it was going to be for a fleet of airships. It was going to patrol the Pacific. And that didn't end up happening or becoming like a thing.
Okay.
But they still have this giant hangar. And not so long ago when they were filming the Star Trek movies, The new ones.
Oh, okay.
They actually refurbished this thing to make it so it wasn't ungodly toxic. Because it used to be absolutely filled with every hideous thing that they've ever sprayed on a military base in order to make it last longer, yet make it incredibly deadly. So they spent a giant amount of money in order to fix this thing up, but nobody knew what to do with it. Well, now Planetary Ventures is leasing this thing for $1.16 billion dollars. Right. The thing is, it's over the course of 60 years, which is a very long lease.
Yeah,
I'm
yeah.
not used to that.
Oh.
But he explains the billion a little bit more, perhaps. NASA is ecstatic because they just got $1.16 billion. And on top of that, apparently just keeping the thing running, just keeping the lights on, was $6.3 million annually.
Wow.
It's that big, ladies and gentlemen. It's a big thing. I don't know. I definitely check it out on our Facebook when we get this story up, because if you haven't seen this thing, if you're elsewhere and are unfamiliar, it is one of man's ungodly giant inventions. And it resides in our area, which is weird to think.
Yeah. Well, after you go and check that out, maybe you also want to check out the Museum of American Heritage A to Z. The Museum of American Heritage boasts a collection of roughly 5,000 historic electrical and mechanical innovations, yet some artifacts are rarely exhibited. Museum of American Heritage newest exhibit, Museum of American Heritage A to Z, introduces visitors to the scope and depth of the MOA collection with a variety of unrelated artifacts. This exhibit features artifacts beginning with the letter A and continues all the way through the alphabet to items beginning with the letter Z, hence nice. The A to Z.
Yeah.
Visitors are welcome to identify each letter of the alphabet as they tour this fascinating display of unusual historic inventions.
Oh, it's a test.
There will be a test at the end, maybe. Probably not.
it's a fun test. Yeah. It's not meant to freak you out or anything like that.
It's not like it's going to go on your permanent record or anything if you fail or pass.
It is going to be permanent.
But... Oh, okay. the museum is located at 351 Homer Dole Avenue, Palo Alto, between Bryant and Waverly Streets in the historic Williams House in downtown Palo Alto. Regular exhibit hours are 11 a.m. to 4 p.m., Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, unless otherwise noted. The exhibit runs from now through March 15th of 2015. And admission to the gallery is free.
Yay!
All right. So my next story involves the possibility of the actress Margaret Robbie playing Harley Quinn.
Oh, okay.
In the Suicide Squad film. Margaret Robbie, best known for her role in Martin Scorsese's The Wolf of Wall Street, is reportedly joining the cast of David Sayer's Suicide Squad as Harley Quinn, according to sources close to Collider.
She looks the part.
Yeah. The Australian actress is currently filming Tarzan, where she will star as Jane, and has upcoming roles in the upcoming film Focus with Will Smith and 2015 sci-fi release Z for Zachariah. Robbie has reportedly beat out English model Cara Delevingne for the role of Harley in the new DC comic.
Rightly
film.
So. Mm-hmm. I can't stand her.
Okay.
I don't know.
Warner
her modular ways.
I'm sure she's lovely. Warner Brothers announced its upcoming Suicide Squad release last month alongside a slew of DC comics, which we mentioned last week.
Right.
A little bit, you know. There was Marvel and DC a lot, yeah, in last week's core topic. You know, including, there was mentioned the Justice League movies and individual ones for Flash, Aquaman, Cyborg, and Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
DC has 10 movies planned to hit theaters between 2016 and 2020. Suicide Squad is scheduled to hit theaters in 2016. So, kind of along with the Batman versus Superman Dawn of Justice.
Yeah, and earlier, I believe, or in late last week, they announced who was going to be the Joker as well, I believe. So,
it was, yeah, speculation. I don't know if
okay.
Jared Leto.
Yeah, that's... the things that I'd read made it sound like it was almost guaranteed, but who knows with this stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's see. In the world of Star Wars news,
what?
Now that filming has wrapped with The Force Awakens,
what? Wait a minute. There's a new Star Wars movie?
I know, it's crazy, and filming has wrapped on it. Of course, it's still going to be like over a year until it releases because of all of the special effects. But still. The Pinewood Studios, the home of Star Wars, for the last little while they actually filmed it, they've confirmed that they are going to be the filming site for the next Star Wars movie as well. It is going to be the one-off version of the Star Wars, or one-off, I guess not version, but the one-off movie that they're creating that has not been confirmed what it's going to be about yet. It's going to be directed, however, by Gareth Edwards and is slated to release on December 16th, 2016, about a year after the next Star Wars movie is going to release. So it's going to be a while before we see the results of it, but the Pinewood Studios in the UK are going to keep busy. And I was actually asking Joe earlier about this because I've always kind of wondered personally why Star Wars traditionally has been in the UK. So if any listeners out there want to chime in on that, let us know. I know I'd appreciate it because I have no idea why they actually film most of their stuff over there.
Yeah.
Not that it's a horrible place for all of our UK listeners.
Yeah. Like, what?
Right. Just pure curiosity.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not really sure if it's just location or cost or they have other stuff sort of set up there. But I did post the blimp and that story on our Facebook page.
Sweet.
So if you know the answer to that question, leave a comment on there. Search Robots Attack Show on Facebook, or you can tweet at us, Robots Attack Me, and it's like, you idiots, this is the answer. So, from there, I go to a story about Disney.
Okay.
Not, well...
It's sort of in the same vein, then.
Yeah. It looks like Disney reveals some release dates for Zootopia and Mona.
Okay.
There are two possible Frozen scale blockbusters for 2016. Both films will release in 2016. March 4th is Zootopia, and Mona will come out during the holiday season on November 23rd of 2016. Man, 2016 is just getting jam-packed with stuff.
Yeah, inundated.
Yeah, both will be released in 3D. Zootopia was first unveiled at last year's D23 Expo. The comedy follows fast-talking fox, Nick Wilde, who goes on the run when he's framed for a crime he didn't commit. In a lighthearted acknowledgement of real-life animal habits, the titular city is divided into regions such as Sahara Square, the icy Tundra Town, and Boro Boro, home to a billion bunnies. Zootopia is being directed by Brian Howard from Tangled, from a script written by Jared Bush. Mona, meanwhile, was announced just last month. Set in the South Pacific, it follows the navigator Mona, who sets sail in search of a fabled island and encountering sea creatures, underworlds, and all sorts of ancient folklore. It is being directed by Ron Clements and John Musker, the team behind Aladdin and The Little Mermaid. So, looks like it's going to be like some big movies coming out for on the animation front and the live action front.
Okay.
From, I mean, they're both animated, but Disney, like,
now, right.
Like you mentioned, the Star Wars. So they're kind of covering their bases. Well, we've got stuff for yeah. Everybody there, they got some for everybody over here. You go, oh, you don't want some Star Wars? Who got you the animation for? You don't want the animation? We got you Star Wars over here.
Yeah, it's weird how so much of this stuff is like sort of cousins now or something like that.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's all I had as far as the stories go.
So. Oh, okay. I don't know if I really have anything else worth mentioning that I have to like get out right now. We can bring up next week. So I think we'll wrap it up for the news there. We'll take another music break and then we'll come back and finish off the show with some geek talk.
Sweet.
All right. I'm going to play. Serotones.
Okay.
The track Silver from the self-titled album, The Serotones. All right. We'll be back with more Robots Attack here on KSU Santa Clara 103.3 FM, the Underground Sound.
You're listening to Robots Attack. Follow them on Twitter at RobotsAttackMe. Email them at RobotsAttackShow@gmail.com. Like them on Facebook. And check out the website at RobotsAttack.me.
Alrighty, welcome back to Robots Attack here on KCU Santa Clara 103.3 FM, the Underground Sound. We're going to get into Geek Talk, but before that, if you want to listen to KCU, even when you're not near a radio, you can stream us whenever you want at KCU.org or on the TuneIn Radio app or website and never be without the Underground Sound.
We're going to have that one just memorized at some
point. Yeah, pretty much. And remember, pro tip, search for KCU, not 103.3.
Right.
Because lots of stations have
unless it's in conjunction with KSCU.
Yeah.
but yeah. Even then, why? Just do KSCU.
Exactly.
It's very easy.
All right, so what shall we start off this Geek Talk with?
The big thing last week that we can both comment on is the Call of Duty.
Sounds good.
Since the story is kind of the linchpin of the thing, might as well have you start out with that since I didn't touch it so far.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I finished it. Traditionally, I play the campaign before I jump on the multiplayer. I have not touched the multiplayer yet. I finished the campaign over the weekend. It was fun. I mean, a lot of people, like, most Call of Duty players, they enjoyed, if they touch the campaign, they'll say, like, oh, the original Modern Warfare, like, they had a good time playing that one.
Uh-huh.
And then kind of from there, it's kind of gone downhill for most. Mm-hmm. They've not even bothered playing campaign a lot of times.
That's me.
I've found all of them to have moments of enjoyment. I mean, obviously, some I've enjoyed more than others, like, a lot of people, like, hated Ghost's campaign.
Okay.
I thought it was fine. It wasn't anything, like, incredible, but it had some cool moments, I thought, and it was just...
Yeah, the parts that I played, I wasn't annoyed by
much. I think it was just that it wasn't really changing anything, and so it was like, okay, here's more, like, just Call of Duty campaign stuff. Like, it's just the same old, same old.
I had a load of fun just remote controlling a dog.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe I'm just weird.
it's possible. Maybe we both are. But, I mean, like, all of them, the stories are just kind of giant action movie, like James Bondish stuff. Some
right.
Way more ridiculous than others. But yeah, I would say that this one... falls into that same sort of category of just like, you know, a James Bond action movie. I would put it up. It's definitely one of the better campaigns. They do a good job with the pacing. There's some good moments where you're not just like running around shooting people.
Yeah, a lot of people out there have been saying that this is the best campaign since the first Modern. So I don't know how that rates with you. But.
Yeah, I mean... I'm not going to go into any sort of spoilers or anything like that. I thought the ending was not terribly great. Like,
okay.
it's pretty anticlimactic. I thought they could have done something a little better, but
okay.
It has.
Is it a spoiler if you tell whether it sets up for another game that's like a direct sequel or?
I mean, sort of. I mean, the world that. Sledgehammer has created in this. I mean, it's definitely set up like it could continue. It's just
self-contained anyway. So
yeah, I mean, it does kind of.
They don't have anything that says, "Oh, well, this thing that happened in Ghosts changed
things." No,
I had a feeling.
Yeah.
I thought they were completely.
It has
separate.
Absolutely,
yeah.
Yeah, nothing. It ties in with nothing. Any of the other campaigns. But it does sort of...
I remember when they nuked New York for no good reason.
Yeah. But yeah, because it does, I mean, it has, if I remember correctly, one of those lines of like, you know, this was only the beginning or something, you know, so it's sort of set up like, okay, they could do more.
Dun.
Yeah. But yeah, and they do, since they having not touched the multiplayer, right. But obviously, like, the big thing with this one is the exosuit.
Mm-hmm.
And so, excuse me, how they handle that in the single, in the campaign.
It looks a lot different from what I saw.
Yeah, it each mission or chapter, however you want to look at it, your suit is outfitted with different stuff.
Okay.
And they kind of do that to sort of play just with, like, sort of what you're going to do in the level.
Uh-huh.
So you don't always have the double jump, or you don't always have this other ability or that. Like, it's they kind of give you those at certain parts. And it's honestly, like, I really didn't use the exosuit terribly much in the campaign. Like, it doesn't really, like, force you or anything. Yeah, it's like, hey, if you want to double jump to get to these other areas, you can. But I kind of pretty much just played it as, like, I'd play any other campaign. So,
yeah, the big commercial that everybody seems to like quite a bit, that's, like, all action-y with the guy jumping all over the place, it actually kind of made me nervous about the single-player campaign, because it's like, oh, geez, is it going to be as jumpy as the multiplayer, or are they going to have it be a little bit more sedate or whatnot?
Because
they really went overboard. Of course, it's a commercial, so it's probably going to have more explosions per minute than your general Michael Bay movie, even. But
it allows like the campaign to have, like, those set piece moments, or, like, those, you know, action moments from an action movie.
Okay.
So, you know, they kind of just tailor your exosuit and sort of things, like, so, you know, you in a couple of the levels you have the cloaking ability. You know, and it runs off battery, like, certain stuff, and, you know, like, they do, you know, limit you in certain ways, but they do another cool thing where while you're playing the campaign, if you complete challenges, they give you, upgrade points.
Okay.
And you can dump those into your exosuit to give you pretty much what I'm assuming are, like, perks in the multiplayer. So,
yeah, that's what I saw from somebody else playing it that kind of confused me, because it looked like it referred to things from multiplayer, but the way it's set up is completely different from how multiplayer functions. So
yeah, so they kind of give, like, if you're some, because there are a lot of Call of Duty players that don't really play the multiplayer; they just play the campaign,
right?
And so this kind of gives you, like, a little taste of that kind of RPG element that Call of Duty has introduced to the first person shooters.
Right.
So you complete these challenges, you can spend the your upgrade points wherever you want in there. You know, usually the first one costs one, and then to do the next one it costs two, and that sort of thing. And then it'll give you, like, additional stuff. My guess is they're pretty much like the perks in the multiplayer. So
right.
You have access to like quick aiming, quick reloading, extra grenade,
right.
You know, that sort of stuff. So you have those will carry out throughout your missions that you're playing. Like, those won't go away. So, you know, you'll always have access to different.
Yeah, I had one question for you for the single player. That shouldn't be any sort of spoiler or anything.
Uh-huh.
But it seemed like, from what I've seen from not so much the commercials, but from the multiplayer and different chunks of gameplay that I have seen, it feels like in tone and how they set scenery and just the feel of the game in general, it feels like they carried a lot of stuff from, in my view, Dead Space. Which it does have a loose lineage to Dead Space, because it has a combined creator to it.
Mm.
But I thought it was really interesting that it had so different of a feel to it and a look to it. So I was wondering if that carried into the single player all that much or not really.
Yeah. I mean, I think they kind of do that in some of the quieter, more, like, stealthier moments.
Okay.
Like, they have in you, like, with there are levels where you'll use the cloak to move around stuff, and then there's other parts where you have to, like, hide your infiltrating someone's house. And I mean, I don't really want to get into detail, spoiler stuff, but yeah, I can kind of see that feel. And I think that definitely helped the campaign. Like,
The biggest thing that I noticed was them directly taking like kind of the shotgun weapon from Dead Space, and they sort of dropped it into this, like the shotgun, the new way that it functions, that like force gun whatever it is.
Yeah.
It's basically a weapon straight out of Dead Space.
Oh, okay.
And a lot of the different ways, like how the guns show off, the ammo counts and stuff like that. It felt like it was pulled almost directly out of there.
Yeah, you don't... like in the camp, I mean, I can't speak to how it is in multiplayer since I haven't touched it. But yeah, like in the campaign, all the stuff is like, it's similar to in Dead Space where like the HUD is on your back.
Right.
You need to see that stuff. And then like when you aim your gun, then you see like how much ammo and all that sort of stuff like kind of pops off of it.
Uh-huh.
Sort of like 3D thing. Yeah, it does that.
Okay.
With this. And it's weird, like, but it doesn't stay there. It'll disappear. And yeah, like, and for, it was actually a little bit annoying because I would forget, because my abilities changed each mission.
Uh-huh.
They're mapped to the D-pad, but that disappears on your gun if I kept hitting the reload button, it would pop back up.
Okay.
But I would forget like what stuff were. So I'd hit like, crap, I didn't need to use overcharge. I just wasted it. Like, I didn't mean to use the stem because I forgot like which one it was tied to. So it was cool, but it was kind of annoying that it disappeared.
Yeah.
At least for me. But, and then
it kind of makes sense for a military setting though. You wouldn't want a bunch of glowing stuff.
But, yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, as far as a gameplay standpoint, yeah, not so great.
Yeah. But I mean, I would recommend it if you like playing the campaigns. It's definitely going to be a cool one. It's got some cool characters that you roll around with. And
okay.
Kevin Spacey is good, hammy fun. Like he's
very good at being Spacey.
Yeah.
That could come off wrong. But yeah, so, being himself, I should say.
Yeah. So before you get into the multiplayer,
yes,
I'll read our last PSA of the night.
Yes.
Are you an animal lover who wants to help homeless animals find their forever homes but have limited time to volunteer? Join San Jose Animal Advocates, a local nonprofit that is building a community network to help find loving, foster, and forever homes for pets in our local shelters. With your help, we can save countless animals. All it takes is a few clicks, and you can share their stories with your network of friends. It's easy. Join them at sjanimaladvocates.org or look for them on Facebook. And we actually got a response from your Elon Musk Skynet story.
Right.
I tweeted out from the Terminator, says there is another chip and it must be destroyed also. So see, you too can be as cool as the Terminator. Right. and participate on the show.
There's like an automatic thing, like every time Skynet.
Yeah, it just automatically shoots it out. Oh, this one. But yeah, if you've played the campaign for Call of Duty, let us know your thoughts on it as well.
Yeah, I plan on messing with it at some point, but I've cared less and less about the campaign just as I've become more and more addicted to multiplayer gaming.
Yeah.
So, so yeah, I was the opposite. Because of that, I ended up just jumping straight into multiplayer. Of course, the first thing that the game does is warn you, don't you want to play the single player? We highly recommend
it. I will say something that does tie to the multiplayer. When you, going back to those unlocks or upgrades,
right?
When you like fill out one of them,
uh-huh,
they give you a supply drop.
Oh, okay.
So, and those are new. I'm sure you'll talk about those in the multiplayer, but just they kind of tie a little from single. So.
Okay. Yeah, the multiplayer for the game, it's incredibly solid. It's really, really good. It's definitely the most innovation that they've crammed into one of these games in a long time. And they did some things that continued off of how the point buy system worked in Black Ops 2 in kind of surprising ways for me, because it wasn't just the 13-point system that they messed around with. They also worked a lot with how you earn the kill streaks. So the biggest thing for the kill streaks that was really exciting for me and was confusing at first was immediately you'll see that you don't have hardly any options for the kill streaks. Like, you glance at it and it's like, what? There's just like 9 kill streaks. There's no support things or anything like that.
Okay.
But it's kind it. If you investigated a little bit more and you actually pay attention, more attention than I did in the first run that I took at the game, you'll realize that you can actually select each one of those, and it ends up making a neat little alteration list for all of the kill streaks. So it ends up drastically changing all of the different kill streaks that you have. Like, one, the very first, most basic thing is a little, like, drone thing that you can fly around, and you're probably familiar with a kind of similar idea in previous games where it just tags people, and that's it. So that's, like, your baseline, cheapest thing out there.
Okay.
But you have all of these different little options that you can tag onto it just by making the point value that you have to earn to get it a little bit higher.
Oh, okay.
So you can make it so it is cloaked, which is really nice.
Yeah.
You can make it so it has adds the flashbang ability to whenever you tag somebody with it, which is also really good. And same thing with EMP. On down the list, and they have other various things. And they kind of treat all of the stuff like that, and so there's little variations for just about everything.
Oh, okay.
So where it ends up being the most interesting is, like, they've had a bunch of different kill streaks in the past that were kind of in the same vein, that it was sort of the same thing, but they couldn't really frame it that way.
Okay.
And to me, the biggest genius one that they added in this was... what used to be the sentry gun, you don't even get as a sentry gun to start. It's just a remote control, like, weapon platform, basically.
Oh, okay.
So it's like a minigun that you can control, like, with a little RC thing. Not as in it, like, drives around or anything. But it's a kill streak that we've seen before, but with all of the alterations, it makes it really interesting, and it allows it to unlock all of the different stuff that we've seen in really vicious kill streaks in the past.
Oh, okay.
So, like, when you'd get crate drops in the past, there was a pretty good chance that, like, a minigun would show up in a crate if you play a few games.
Uh-huh.
And that was always, like, one of the best things you could ever get out of one of those crates, and really fun. So what they finally realized is that, well, you have these sentry guns. It is a minigun.
Uh-huh.
Why can't you just grab it and use it? Now you have that ability. It costs a lot of money, and it's like, or not money, but point value and kills. And so it makes it really interesting adding little twists like that. I thought that was by far my favorite thing that they've done with the game. And that's on top of them adding an exosuit, actually.
So go back. So are the streaks, is it tied to kills or is it tied to
it's,
points?
It's
like
point
Black
values.
Ops.
Okay. So...
Black Ops 2.
Yeah, well,
did the score streaks.
Black Ops 2. The thing that I'm not quite as happy with in Black Ops 2, it felt like there was a lot more concentration on letting people who felt like being more of a support role person and weren't the gung-ho types to kind of have their day and get really good point values and get really good streaks out of this. And technically the framework is still there, but it seems like it's a lot more difficult to get all of that stuff, at least at this point, just because, like, I know I'm sure it made a lot of people angry with me, but I'd end up getting top score pretty often on Black Ops 2 just because I loved EMP grenades and I got fairly good at using them. And if you knock out like high point value stuff with them, they end up really cashing in really quickly. And on top of that, it ends up kind of combating the thing. Like if you die a lot, you actually have more of an opportunity to get more points that way. And so, I think I made a lot of the run gun people who were like really vicious not so happy with me a fair number of times. But I don't know if it was in a direct response to people like me, but it seems like that's not something that's coming up near so often. And I don't know if it's just kind of the way that things run, people choosing not to throw out the items as much anymore versus depending on items that are actually attached to them and things like that.
Oh, okay.
But still, the entire idea of having little alterations on your kill streaks is by far my favorite thing. Oh, and I should say, they completely eliminated the support role as like a different kill streak function.
Oh, okay.
So it's all the same kill streaks now. What they did, which I thought was kind of genius, about 2/3 of the items now have that as one of the point upgrade options. So you can upgrade it into being a support item, which makes it a lot more expensive. But if you don't want to worry about trying to get massive, like, continuous kill streaks in one life, it makes it pretty worthwhile.
So,
I've enjoyed it, like, a lot. And I think it's really solid.
Are you enjoying it more than your time with Ghosts, or that was the last one? Or
yes, mainly. Okay, I didn't hate Ghosts anywhere near as much as a lot of other people seem to, including in the multiplayer setting. But the one thing that I did have a major problem with, and I don't know if it was something that fell through last minute, but they made giant maps for that game. They were pretty maps, and they were fairly functional for good gunfights and so on, but it's like they made all of those maps for having way more players than they ever ended up having, and I think that bears out with stuff that they'd ended up putting out really early in press releases. I could have sworn they had really high player counts on their stuff, and that didn't end up materializing. So that was definitely a big problem in that game. Otherwise, I didn't have too many problems with it, but this one is definitely an upgrade on all fronts as far as that goes. I was way more comfortable with all of the point systems that they had in Black Ops 2. I think a lot of people, once they got the hang of it, like initially it was funny too, everybody complained, like, oh, I can't believe they changed all of this stuff on Black Ops 2, and they made it all futuristic.
Yeah.
And now everybody and their dog is saying, like, oh, Black Ops 2 was, like, definitive game. Yeah. I don't know if they're going to say that after this game. I think a lot of people like it quite a bit.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it really threw me off that that ended up being a thing.
I was people, oh, hey, Call of Duty is the same thing over and over. Oh, they changed it. Oh, man, I hate this. Why they changed it?
Right, I can't believe they changed it.
Oh, wait, okay, maybe that was really
cool. Right, and it seemed like Ghosts was sort of a response to that. I think they were developing it, and they got all of the people complaining about it before they got used to it, and so they knocked it back to the old system. And then people realized, oh, wait, I actually kind of like the old new way better. Right.
Yeah.
I don't know why my like Call of Duty anti-fanboy is British, but they've really taken a good leap forward in this game by just adding that right there. And you'll notice probably that I didn't end up saying anything about the exo frame, and it's not because I hate it or anything like that. It's just at this point with all of the games that I've played, it is nothing new. That's the thing. It's like I was really expecting it to be something revolutionary, and there are a few things that I like as little twists that they've added to how like the weird little line wire packs that they have on Titanfall, and the way that your characters function in Destiny.
Okay.
It seems like they've taken little things and tweaked them just a little bit, so it's neat things that they combine little things from all over the place. But that said, I feel like those other games, even with those shortfalls, with not being quite as inventive as they could, still ended up being a more fluid way of using that sort of movement.
Okay.
So yeah, I got really confused because one of my characters in Destiny is a Titan character, and effectively what would be a like 3-button combination in order to do kind of a tricky like jump, double jump, and then in air sprint thing for the new exosuits in Call of Duty, it's just like 1 button for my Titan. So it's just okay. Like, I kind of like that. you feel powerful. It's like, I pulled off an air combo, but he just moved the exact same way another character moved by pressing a button. So
if you're just tuning in here on KACU Santa Clara 103.3 from the Underground Sound, it's Robots Attack. We're talking about the new Call of Duty. I mentioned the single player earlier. We're now in multiplayer, and I had a few more questions before we wrap up. That was one of them, actually, to kind of see like how does it compare to the others.
It's still really solid. I want to get that out of the way.
Uh-huh.
It's just I was hoping for just a little bit more. That's all.
Yeah, I'm guessing probably if for like strictly Call of Duty players that maybe didn't dabble in Destiny or Titanfall.
Right. This it's going to be mind blowing to them. <All right.
laughs> So my other question: did you like what modes did you play?
I haven't ventured out of my traditional deathmatch, to be honest.
Okay.
Well, basically that's about it. Mostly, I was trying to concentrate on getting a feel for how all of the development of your character worked and unlocking things and so on. So,
oh, okay. Yeah, that was my next question was, they stressed a lot of like the customization option in this, and maybe kind of touch on the how you do unlock different things. And because I noticed there's like tweaks now, there's the supply drop things, but there's like weapon like that have like tweaks or something to them or something like that.
The supply drop things is another one of those things where it's like, I'm glad they added it. It's cool, but it's one of those things where they've had it in other games executed just a little bit better.
Okay.
And so it's a nice little thing. But the other thing, too, is I don't know exactly how they figure out when a supply drop happens. But when it's happened to me, it's made it seem like it's their replacement for the death streaks.
Oh, okay.
Basically, any time that I have been humiliated by somebody in multiplayer, they've ended up giving me one of these crates.
Okay.
So I don't know if that's on purpose or just a happy accident. But
so these crates, I mean, is it something like it drops and anyone can grab it, or is it just
you?
No,
it's completely outside of the game. It's
It
tells you that you got one, and then it drops it into your menu system when you're customizing your character outside of game.
Okay.
So
what sort of stuff do you get in a supply drop?
It's basically a custom version of a weapon. So it's a weapon that's already decked out with certain things. You can't pull the things off of them. But where it really changes and where it becomes familiar with a lot of the other games like Borderlands and Destiny is that there's a lot of weapons in those games that you can tell it's the same weapon that you've gotten before. It just reacts a little bit differently.
Okay.
Well, Call of Duty, they made it so it perfectly spells out exactly how it's tweaked.
Oh, okay.
So it is kind of nice as far as that goes, but it sort of takes the magic out of it at the same time.
Okay.
Because it tells you literally that you have a plus one in the mobility of the weapon, and it shows it on the little slider thing.
Okay.
Destiny also has the sliders, and you can do compare and contrast and whatnot, but for some reason having it obscured where you actually have to compare sizes and so on, it makes it feel somehow like you earn something better and that you're ferreting out things.
Uh-huh.
Whereas Call of Duty, it's really cut and dry, which is arguable whether it's a bonus or a positive or a negative.
Do you keep, like, are these like a one-shot kind of deal with these guns, or?
Most of the stuff you keep pretty much forever. You have like a limited stock. You have like a loot room, basically, that you fill with stuff. But certain things, well, there are other items that you can get as drops. Well, they seem to be kind of a hybrid between the unlock and the drop system, because there's pieces of armor that you get that way.
Okay.
And there seem to be certain items that actually expire, and I'm not sure why they would, but it's usually helmets.
Okay.
So I don't know if they do something extra for you. I haven't had enough experience with them, because helmets that I have tried out have not expired. And a lot of the other helmets that I've gotten have expired, and I don't know why.
Okay. So, I guess, kind of playing off the customization option, like, Ghosts, that was kind of a big thing with that one compared to other previous Call of Duty's. Like, how would you compare with this one? Is it...
It's really not that different than Ghosts, but it's weird. Like, so much of this stuff, I can make direct comparisons to Destiny, and I did not expect that, like, whatsoever. Yeah. I expected those two games to be so far from each other that you couldn't ever draw lines between them. But one of the things that I like in Destiny is when you're doing the multiplayer stuff, you actually see your, like, little hit squad. They, like, spawn in, and you get a moment to see what your squad looks like, and you're all standing there with, like, your flag that... like, I plant my flag, I'm going to win this area type of thing or whatnot. And I've seen people complain, like, I can't believe they added some, like, weird macho stereotype to this. Like, people standing around looking cool. But it is actually kind of cool. Especially when you see all of the different costumes and loot that people have accrued over time.
Uh-huh.
Especially once you get into the crazy things, like glowing stuff and flaming stuff and all of this stuff. Anyway, so they basically have the exact same thing in this.
Oh, okay.
Except they made it more of when you're in between games, you actually can look at, instead of just your squad, you can look at everybody. And it's basically everybody who's going to be in the next game, like, standing around. Not trying to look cool, but just the normal standing around thing, like you were outfitting your character or something like that. Which brings me to the other thing. They added to not only when you're between games, but also when you have, like, the types of games that have respawn stuff where it has longer respawns.
Okay.
They added something really cool to me, is that you can try out your weapons and your kit like you have it in, like, a fictional little VR room that's a shooting gallery.
Okay.
And I think a lot of people have mentioned about it, but I cannot stress enough how cool that actually is, just because you actually get a feel of how the weapon fires.
Yeah.
And it has little, like, hollow things ducking behind corners and so on, so you get the idea of how difficult it is to use this weapon on a moving target, which, again, is, like, something that's ruined so many guns.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that becomes really important, especially once you deal with the future ray guns and stuff like that, which are very cool, but, yeah, they take some getting used to.
Okay. Cool. Yeah, well, I'm sure we'll definitely delve into more, especially once I get a chance to try out some of the multiplayer.
Yeah.
To see But
yeah, we'll probably mention some of the other modes later on, but we don't want it over. Shot.
Yeah. Alrighty, well, I think that's going to do it for tonight's show. We'll be back next week, Monday from 7 to 9 here on KSU Santa Clara 103.3 FM, The Underground Sound. On behalf of myself, Joe, and Jason, we thank you for listening. And remember, it's not too late to participate on the show, even though the show is wrapping up. Like I mentioned, the internet is 24/7. You can go to Facebook to search Robots Attack Show. Check out some of the stories we post on there. Leave a comment, like the page, tell your friends and all that jazz. Or you can follow us on Twitter, Robots Attack Me. You can also tweet at us there. And if you like to do the old good standby,
right,
the old email, especially if you want to email a question or comment that takes a little bit longer than 40 characters, or you don't want to leave a giant comment on Facebook, feel free to email us as well. Topics, questions, anything. That's at robotsattackshow@gmail.com. Or if you want to check out previous episodes or any of those links, if you didn't get a chance to write all of those down, if you just go to robotsattack.me, that's our main homepage. It's got an interact button, all those links I just mentioned, as well as previous shows that you can catch up on as well. All right, that's going to do it. Have a wonderful week and weekend. And have an awesome Veterans Day. If you see a veteran, tell them thank you. I believe Veterans Day is tomorrow. So if you see a veteran, even after Veterans Day, thank them anyway.
Yeah.
So, all right. Take it easy, everybody.
Raccoon. Baradin. Mixto.